You know, Christians are supposed to love God, to love one another, and to love our neighbors. Not just the folks next door or across the street, but whomever we come in contact with, whether it be in our homes, in the store, or walking in the park. Today, many multitudes call themselves Christians, followers of Christ, but do we practice the Christ-like characteristics we learn about in the New Testament that define a true believer, a true follower? Among the many things that Jesus taught during his earthly ministry, we read in John 13:34 and several other places, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Jesus set the example, "as I have loved you." Continuing in verse 35, we hear Jesus say, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Tonight I bring a lesson about love influenced by something that caught my eye on the Pulpit Preview Facebook page. Considering all the junk that can be found on social media these days, it was refreshing to read about love from a biblical perspective. 10 Ways to Love is the title of this lesson, but I don't want to give the impression that these are the only ways to show Christian love. We'll cover a broad swath and hope that each of us can pick up a lesson or so for us to focus on in our own lives if we are truly interested in growing spiritually and learning how to shine our light on those in the world, our neighbors, the human race. Remember, Jesus said that by showing love for one another, all will know that we are his disciples. All know that we are truly Christians. So what are 10 ways to love? Well, let's look at the list and then find some sound examples from God's word, the Bible. We demonstrate our love by the way we listen, speak, give, by the way we pray, how we answer, how we share, by the way we enjoy and trust, and by the way we forgive, and finally, by the way we promise. Listen. Number one, do we listen without interrupting? Let's read Proverbs 18, verses 13 and 15. "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." And "the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." So we can see from the wisdom of Solomon that listening without interrupting is critical to gaining wisdom, and the way we listen shows our love for the one we're listening to. Number two, we also show our love by the way we speak. Speak without accusing. Listen to what James writes in his epistle, James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear," or listen, "slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. First listen, then speak. Speak gently and without accusing." Next, give. Give without sparing. Proverbs 21:26 teaches that a proud and haughty man covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. Paul reminded the Corinthian church, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Often the first thing that comes to mind when we think of giving is money. But spending time in fruitful works without sparing is also a righteous way to show your Christian love. And we come to number four, pray. We've heard it taught recently, pray without ceasing. And we're admonished to do so by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Paul expresses this same theme again in Colossians 1, verses 9 through 11, in which he focuses his prayer on the spiritual growth of the body of saints at Ephesus, that they may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Number five, answer. Let me ask you a question. How quickly does someone turn you off by answering no or but or interrupting when you ask a question? So when you answer, answer without arguing. Make your answer a positive, and let your answer be guided by Scripture. We turn to Proverbs 15:1 to learn a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. That makes sense, doesn't it? In his second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 23 through 24, the Apostle Paul exhorts the young evangelist to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. A soft answer will not hurt the ears, and the listener is likely to hear more about the gospel. The Bible calls upon us to share. Number six, share without pretending. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, describing how the contribution of each member, combined with the individual works of all the brethren, leads to the success of the congregation, to the benefit of all. Maturity in Christ, as explained in Ephesians 4:14-16, means that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Do you enjoy being a Christian? Then, number seven, enjoy without complaint. Do all things without complaining and disputing, Paul exhorts in Philippians 2:14. Sometimes we need to do an unpleasant chore or change our own plans in order to help someone, but we truly shine our light by doing all things without complaining and without disputing. Trust. Trust without wavering, without doubt. You know, doubt is one of Satan's most powerful tools. Just recall the way he made Eve doubt God's word in the Garden of Eden and the terrible consequences. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8 is the first verse that comes to my mind when I think of where we should place our trust and how it shows our love for the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Psalm 146 makes a great point as to whether to place our trust in God or man, as we so often have trouble remembering. Psalm 146, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. And verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. You see, man's plans perish with him. God's plan will never perish. Number nine is about forgiveness. Forgive. Forgive without punishment. One of the very foundations of the forgiveness that we receive from God through Christ is that even though we've sinned, we're forgiven and not punished, as long as we walk in the light. Colossians 3:12-13 exhorts us, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint about another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Forgive without punishing, just like Christ. Our last of 10 ways to love is to promise. Promise without forgetting. Has anyone ever promised you something and then not delivered? How'd that feel? Have you ever forgotten to deliver on a promise? Saying you'll do something is a promise. A promise leads to expectation or hope. A forgotten promise can have a devastating effect, such as is described in the first line of Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Yes, the effect of a promise not forgotten is uplifting, isn't it? It is indeed a tree of life. Notice that this list of 10 ways to love begins with listen and ends with promise. When we truly listen, we hear. When we hear the gospel message, we learn that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. If God has that power over death, think of what he can do for you. We call it God's plan of salvation. Have you listened to the gospel message? Did you know God has made a promise to you? Are you willing to promise God your faithful obedience? Promises not forgotten are a tree of life. God promised Abraham that for his faithfulness he would bless all the nations of the earth. And he has, through Christ. God expects us to hear the gospel message by studying the Bible, his word, and to believe in the power of God to raise us up on the last day. In order to find eternal life in heaven, we must repent of our old ways and make known our belief that Jesus is the Son of God. If we confess Jesus here and now, he'll confess us to his Father, who is in heaven, which we read in Matthew 10:32 and Luke 12:8. Obeying God's plan of salvation also requires us to be baptized for the remission of sins, after which he adds us to his church. This is the only path from this life to heaven if we, like Abraham, remain faithful by obeying God's word. So if you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ and become a Christian, please follow the instructions coming on the screen shortly about how to contact us to learn more about what the Bible says about the only way that leads us to heaven. We'll find the means necessary to ensure that you can safely obey the gospel of Christ, whether you live nearby or we can send help through a congregation closer to you. And if you're already a Christian and want to help strengthening your faith, please make your need known to us while we sing this song.